Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm looking down.
Everybody, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I am Sweet Pea, and this is Sweet Discussions. I'm very excited to have everybody aboard. Tonight is one of my favorite topics, Mr. Stephen King, on my journey with authors this month. Let's see, get the business out of the way. I am with All Poetry, one of the top poetry outlets for poets in the entire internet world. With Inside That Little Group is wrapped, a wonderful group called Team of Voices, a great group of creators, philosophers, lovers, and all the things that come with poetry. Tonight we're going to start off by saying hello to Mr. A.P. Taylor. Hello, A.P., how are you?
Hi, I'm well, sweet. But you forgot about Fantasy Football League. We do that too.
Oh, yes, and we do Fantasy Football League, which I'm horrible at because my whole life went upside down right before it started. But, hey, what I get, I get.
Oh.
Yes.
Cool.
And then we're going
to
welcome.
It's all good.
It's all good. We're going to say hello to Deborah Lee, our president, our love, our goddess. Hello, Deborah Lee. How are you tonight?
I am well, my sweet. How are you?
I'm doing okay. And right behind you comes the wonderful Mad Hatter. How are you, darling?
It's a board meeting. Yeah.
It's a board meeting.
Hey.
Except right behind you guys. I believe I have it. Adam, is this correct? 419.
Who loves pulling up the rear.
Oh, there he goes. Bada boom. And hello, Adam. How are you tonight?
Well.
All right. Well, tonight is really great. I am an avid fan of Stephen King. I actually had the opportunity to read parts of The Stand before it was actually printed a long time ago to a mutual friend of his, although I am unfortunately not have ever met him. So he's always been kind of the dark daddy in my corner. I love his short stories. Night Shift is one of my favorite books and has a great deal of short stories. I also love so many of his other books. His serious stuff is out there, and a lot of people don't realize that. Oh, wait a minute, Stephen King wrote Shawshank Redemption and The Green Mile, and, you know, there's a lot of other stuff that he's done. It's just, he's a brilliant writer, the Edgar Allan Poe of our times. Many want to be him. Few can even reach the epitome of who he can be. All right, so I am going to start off right away with poetry because I have A.P. Taylor sitting on the tarmac of an airport waiting for a plane.
I am. Exactly right. I'm sitting here at the boarding gate waiting to go to Sydney.
Yes.
I have your quote, though, from Stephen King. Sweet, so I read that first. Writers remember everything,
okay,
especially the hurts. Strip a writer to the buff, point to the scars, and he'll tell you the story of each small one. From the big ones, you get novels. A little talent is a nice thing to have if you want to be a writer. But the only real requirement is the ability to remember the story of every scar. So, I don't talk about this very much. And so, the poem is that. What I don't talk about. And it goes a bit like this. An ankle sits poking at a jaunty angle. Three broken toes left the shoe wrangle. Find a deep hole. There should be a heel. My big toe is stuck, as ligament did steel. That acts as the new Achilles tendon, which means walking and little bending. Snapped a planter when playing cricket, and two fielder's fingers fielding near the wicket. Shoulder reconstructed, car crash-like. Off trampoline head first in the full pike. Stitches in my hand twice, 12 cast. From glass, I'm grabbing a door jam past. Been placed on my back and with local. Then kidneys pieces surveyed by a yokel. Gone through the process half a dozen times. Hernia six to holes, stitched to dimes. A cancer removed with a kidney as well. Another transplanted gone with the bell. Which means on needles every other day. One to take out as the other returned way. Over 5,000 such needles over the years. Biggest size sting like if a bee appears. Wounds keep collecting and still I thrive to new scar pairs. Two more days alive. End poem.
Oh, wow.
Man.
I think that wow, that fits the prompt perfectly, and it just goes to show you that you don't know what life's going to bring you. And, you know, if it was anybody but UAP, I might go, oh, I feel so sorry for you. This is awful. But I know you. I know your spirit. I know your strength. And nothing has ever slowed you down. I mean, you're hopping from country to country, running businesses. You know, you're the Lord that runs the world to me. That's always been my little pet name for you. But this is incredible. This just kind of takes you back and goes, wow. You know, the pain that we endure sometimes without people that we think we know. You know, you never know what's going on in the head of a fellow poet, of a fellow human being. You know, and sometimes that's why it's always, you know, follow that golden rule. Because it's important to be nice and kind to all the people around you, because you never know what the hell the next day is going to bring or what yesterday was for them. And I really think that you took that home, especially with that quote, because we never do forget, especially the hurts. And I really, really appreciate this, the point of view of this right. Miss Deborah.
The person I spoke to.
Get your comment.
Yeah. You know, sitting here as you were reading, it's like, I said this already, the list is staggering. And it's like Sweet just mentioned, you know, anybody else, it would be like a different story. But you're out there moving and shaking and breaking a few things along the way, but it doesn't stop you. And like, if nothing else, this list that makes you cringe as you think about each thing is a mega testament to your intestinal fortitude. So, I mean, wow.
Absolutely. And Hatter, your thoughts? Other than piece of cake.
No, it was. It had me, my nerves on edge the whole time. Because I could appreciate this. Man, I'm lost for words. I just. every wound that you mentioned, just made my knees hurt.
Yeah, thank you.
And Adam, your thoughts, please.
Oh man, this was like poignantly, practically real. Yet there's so much here to really dive into in this piece. There's the strength that I get from it, and AP rattling it off, you know, these are the wounds physically that you can count upon my body, and I'm sure it's not them all, even it's not all of them. These are the most poignant ones he's pointing out, or at least that worked in the methodology of the poem. But at the end is where you see that it's a man that's strong. It's a man that carries on regardless of what he's been through. It's not that he doesn't think of the pain, as a man typically does. They carry on in spite of the pain, and it doesn't mean that that didn't affect them. It doesn't mean it didn't leave a mark, and not only that physical mark, but the marks beneath, the marks that matter, the marks that mean everything that is really meant to be meaningful. There's a great, and it's very subtle in that approach. I think the way he read it almost brings that to light in the kind of brush off. He brushes it off. He kind of rushes it. If he caught the way he's reading it, he kind of rushes through it like, oh, I've done, this happened, and this and that. And another thing, this also did happen, and this occurred, and you know what? I'm still here, and I carry on, and I will, you know, there's a feeling. He lets you in a little bit into the hurt of it. He lets you a little bit, gives you a little window in, because a man doesn't let you all the way into his pain. He can't. A man can't be weak. A man, you know, we're not allowed, allotted that in life. Men don't have that luxury to be allowed. You know, when we are, we're put down for it. You know, and he kind of really stands on that in this, that he's a man's man, in spite of that him understanding that the idea in itself is flawed. This is brilliant, really, and I don't know how. I'm sure AP wrote this while he was, you know, on the tarmac, you know, easily without a. Because he's a brilliant writer that can do these things on the fly and touch you and hit you in a way that is. How do you do this, AP, so easily? It's years of practice, like carrying the pain. End comment.
Thank you.
Wow, that is crazy. So, AP, what is your favorite Stephen King anything?
Look, I think you talked earlier, Sweet, about just the amount of things that he writes and just his ability to write things like The Shawshank Redemption, which I think is a brilliant piece of writing. And so... You know, I don't go for his dark stuff, but give me The Shawshank Redemption every day of the week.
Yeah, I agree.
So, but yeah, just a quick story before I disappear, Sweat.
Go ahead.
When I was running a business was the time that my kidneys decided to blow up, and I needed some surgery, and we were in the middle of selling the business. And unfortunately, I had to sign off every answer that came in. We had about 2,000 over the space of 3 weeks. Anyway, it came to pass that the kidney that was still in had cancer, and it needed to come out very quickly, and so we took it out on the Thursday afternoon. It's about an 8-hour surgery. And I stayed in overnight to the hospital, but I actually managed to get back to work the next afternoon, Friday afternoon, and put in 3 hours before the weekend. Now, that's a slightly ridiculous thing to do because taking kidney out involves thousands of stitches, and it's meant to take a 6-week recovery. It's just, you know, you do what you have to do. And I thought I had to be there to show the face. I'd take the weekend off, by the way. But I was back on Monday. And everybody was worried about me because I told them I'd had hernia surgery. But I just forgot to mention that at the same time I had a kidney out. So it was just one of those things that I, you know, got myself into with my health that I just had to get out of. And I wish I had a better way to do it. But it just gives you an example of what if you put your head to it, there's, you know, you can do just about anything. I wasn't great, wasn't feeling too great, but we got through it.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, who's under
the... So, but yeah, there's you know, there's a
well, I'm glad everything is so far working out.
I was just going to say, the ridiculously awful book by G. Gordon Liddy, who was the ex-head of the CIA. And he talked about head strength and will. And while I think he's a very awful character, I subscribe to the fact that you can do just about anything if you set your mind to it.
Wow. That's brilliant. Deb, what is your favorite Stephen King world?
Oh, you know, I stink at picking favorites. My poem will prove that I stink at picking favorites. I can't ever pick one. I love Cujo. I've seen it a half a dozen times. I've read it. He's just a master.
Yeah.
You know?
For real. Master of the macabre, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, her poem, yeah. Deb's poem, is so awesome. I've read it all. I love her. Hers is the greatest tribute I think anyone has ever written.
Wow.
Like, yeah, it's probably, I think he will, I hope he catches it somehow, some way. I hope he actually gets to read it himself. I think he himself would be proud of it. Like, it would make him smile. He would grin ear to ear reading Deb's poem. Her poem is spectacular. She references, like, almost every single, like, I don't even want to give it away. Holy God, it's awesome.
Well, that's good. I can't wait.
Wow.
All right, AP, if you got to run, I'll know to say goodbye. We're good with that. As always, I
safe flight.
I'll run. Thank you.
Yeah.
And,
take care, man.
Up, in a
down.
Thanks,
it makes
guys.
Me sad.
Thanks.
Down, AP.
No problem. Talk soon. Okay. Cheers.
Right,
peace,
bye.
Brother. Oh, man, he sounds so down. It makes me sad. I don't know what's going on in AP world, but...
AP world. All right.
I think it might be Rack and Clown in there.
Oh, is that who that is?
Possibly. The two would use that, Pretty Bird and Rack and Tour, so I don't know.
Yeah. Probably my Rack and Tour. What is Rack?
Hello.
Hello, how
you
are
know, you?
You
know my smell.
I smell you from a long time ago, yeah. You're funny. All right, so what we're going to do next, because I have some poetry this week I'm very excited about.
Listen.
Yes, Hatter?
That wasn't me.
Oh, okay. Somebody told me to listen. I'm like, okay, what? Oh, never mind.
No, you said you had poetry. What a coincidence. Never mind.
Oh, what a coincidence. Sorry, I thought somebody listened, and I'm like, huh, what?
Listen.
All right, I'm going to throw a coincidence. I know. I'm going to throw me on the board. Everybody enjoy. This is from the quote, I changed it. I had to. Do you know why? She's studying him, her eyes grave, because that was then, and this is now, because the past is gone, even though it defines the present. Stephen King wrote in Dr. Sleep. So this is Forever in a Day by Sweet Pea. Lies from soft lips cut deep, leaving scars on tomorrow. False smiles weave a life of hope in the eyes of dishonest. Feathered pillows softly suffocate the words broken promises. Fires of desire died in the past, leaving cold ash raining on tomorrow's, waiting for a warmth in the rancid soils of graveyard regrets. A frozen heart lies shattered. Monsters swim in the tepid pools of worthlessness, spitting cruelty in the name of shameless, enjoying the pain inflicted on the loveless. Fallen angels' wings burn into black ashes as yesterday becomes today and tomorrow hides in between, begging for clemency. Black stitched lips lay silent in the arms of time, a brutal enemy waiting forever and the days in between. In poem.
Damn sweet. Between the poem and the tone in your voice, it was like kind of gut-wrenching to listen to you read. Lies from soft lips cut deep, leaving scars on tomorrow. No truer words have been said today, that's for sure. I think sometimes the scars from that type of wound is way worse. Monsters swim in the tepid pools of worthlessness, spitting cruelty in the name of shameless, enjoying the pain inflicted on the loveless. I mean, that is so powerful and sad and too true in many cases. Fallen angel wings burn into black ashes. What's sadder than angels' wings burning? I mean, the images, the feel, black-stitched lips lay silent in the arms. Black-stitched lips make you think of, you know, what is it, that song? The Man in the Box, where they show the
eye.
You know, so like, wow, I mean, forever and the days in between, what's left? Another gut punch poem, sweet, really, really awesome.
Thank you,
Patter. What do you think of our sweet pea?
She's on fire, man. I mean, was it Saturday or was it Friday? The last one you wrote. I think I dreamed about it too.
Monday.
Last night.
Well, you get these lines. Spitting cruelty in the name of the shameless. I mean, that's like, tell the brokenhearted and tell them I was here. Yeah, you can feel it all through this.
Thank you.
Good job. And that's just
awesome.
Beautiful
comment. And raconteur, which you think of sweet.
Yeah, that's, you know, you speak to me all the time, and you know, the idea that the angels' wings turn to ashes as tomorrow turns into today, you know, that the degradation of a relationship summed up so well, you know, the evolution of things as they just go downhill and turn bad, and implied, you know, flames. Of the burned wings, even that's not just the destruction of the wings themselves. It's the ending of what was. I mean, it's signature sweet. It's beautiful. You know, I just want to hug you all the time.
Awesome comment.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with my poetry.
It's because I'm blind.
I think it's because I'm blind. Ear crack up. Adam, what do you think?
Oh, I thought this was beautifully eloquent in the conjuring of emotional pain. Ultimately, I felt it was, I took an interpretation of it that was a little different, I think, from the panels here. I felt, aside from everything, it being just brilliant pain emotionally, you know, Sweet Pea is one of the, I consider myself an emotional writer. I write from emotion, not from my brain, or, you know what I mean? Like, I write purely, I feel like Sweet Pea does this too. Not that she's not writing with her head, she's got a great one on her, but like, emotion pours, and I think that's why my work resonates with her almost in that same regard. When she does read my work, she always latches on to the emotional vibration, and her work always has this niche to it, emotion. She's coming from it, you know, but the piece spoke to me of loss through death. Ultimately in the end. And I think it was the last stanza that really conjured that in my mind. And then it was a way that I could tie and understand the rest with the last stanza, that this was a death. Life is a promise, right? But it can lie in the fact that we forget that it's not forever. And it really broke my heart. I don't know what it, this is a heartbreaking piece. That goes without saying. But if you take it to the idea that, damn you, you know, the whole, like, damn you for dying idea, that's what I got from this. Damn you for dying. I don't know. It's just powerful, really powerful for me. That's what I got from it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's funny that you caught, it's funny you caught the comment or the last stanza of someone in their coffin. I wasn't sure if I got that imagery through, so I appreciate you telling me that.
Yeah, I thought you nailed it like a coffin nail, and it I thought it tied the rest back to, like, bring the mystery to, like a Stephen King would do, right? Stephen King would tell a story that way. Oh, come on. he's known for, like, doing that suddenly, and it all makes sense in the end. As much as they say Stephen King has weak endings, being a gardener writer, he does kill it. He's one of my favorite authors as well, Sweet Pea. So I'm with you.
Absolutely. That's awesome. So, Deb, since I am dying to know, because I don't read poems before my show, unless I know somebody might be naughty, I want you up there. I'm dying to hear this.
Oh,
are you looking
man.
At me?
Okay. Well, dear heart, what I did was I took the list of his books and movies, and I used 60 of them.
You hear that?
Oh my goodness.
60. Oh my God.
Yeah, about 60. But it's called Playing Gerald's Game in Billy Summers' Joyland Revival Seasons. Here we go.
Wow.
From a Buick 8, Dolores Claiborne saw the Tommyknockers chasing the running man in desperation at 4 past midnight. A bag of bones is on Salem's lot by the black house under the dome. Now it's finders keepers. But if it bleeds in puddles after sunset, nightmares and dreamscapes rage as the skeleton crew in the dead zone go to the Institute to lock sleeping beauties in a cell to stop the cycle of the werewolf. Cujo is guarding the dark tower in the wastelands from the drawing of the three ghosts hunting for the eyes of the dragon and for the girl who loved Tom Gordon. Over at the pet cemetery, the night shift is at the end of watch, and the dark half head out as Mr. Mercedes grabs the Duma key. But the wind through the keyhole spreads misery down the green mile, halting roadwork. Blockade Billy waves his dream catcher on the long walk, targeting the fire starter, then she ignites the blaze. But at that elevation, timber walls of the Kala sniff the white-hot flames. The bazaar of bad dream plagues carry, and she rises, seeking the talisman, but Wendy's magic feather cannot help, and the breathing method fails too, and the shining in the window triggers insomnia. She's an apt pupil, so she phones Dr. Sleep for his nurse to sing the song of Susanna. Then the outsider, searching for needful things, robs Gwendy's button box, and later, that night, the gunslinger finds it. Gwendy's final task is to read a fairy tale before Cujo shows up to eat Carrie, ending Gerald's game. And boom.
This is brilliant. I am so impressed that you took book titles and turned them into such a great poem. Wow. This is really great. I really, really, really like this stuff. Your imagery is great. Your ability to take the various titles and make them into great storylines or input them in as, you know, details into someone else's story. I mean, I love how she called Dr. Sleep and they went and got the Duma key and, you know, Cujo needs to be silent and Firestarter is one of my favorites and I love how you put her in there. Tommyknockers is always a top notch that we talk about. And the Buick 8 Dolores Claiborne, I just love this. Bag of Bones, I love it all. I think you did a spectacular job on this. It's just crazy on what someone can actually, you know, set their mind to do. But, you know, a lot of people can set their minds to do it, but very few can make come out as brilliantly as this is. Wow. Just really enjoyed it.
Wow. Thank you so much.
It's great.
I appreciate that.
You are welcome.
Yeah, it was so fun. And it was really crazy how well it tied together, honestly. And I really think that it was fun because I've pieced together so many AP and Hatter blind collabs. So thanks, guys.
All right. Rackentor, your thoughts on this great poem?
Yeah, I thought you did an amazing job, too. I'm sitting there kind of trying to check off each one, and I'm like, yeah, there's no way I can keep track of this on my fingers, so I don't have enough fingers. 60, huh? it didn't feel like it, and it definitely didn't feel forced. So, you know, that's kind of a testament to the writing as well. You know, you could take stuff like that and put it into natural language and tell a story with it, and you sure did.
Wow, thank you. You can't see because, as you joked earlier, you're kind of blind, but I even spelled cemetery wrong like they did in the movie and the book, and I was surprised how hard it was for the nerd in me to let me push that button without fixing that anyway. And look at that photo.
Well, I'm glad you did.
I can't help myself. I'm looking at Gage there, and he's got his little nose crinkled up, and in my mind I'm hearing him say, I played with Mommy, and now I want to play with you. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Which is funny because that's my intro into Poetic Slice of Life. So I Want to Play with You is the intro they play when I go to Poetic Slice of Life. That line.
Oh, get out. Really? Oh, how cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
it is.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
That's perfect.
Every time Stephen says hello, I want to play with you. Great. So, Hatter, your thoughts. Or do they do Hatter?
Is that Senior Naval?
Oh, what's
with you? yeah, I was looking for Christine. I didn't see it. He wrote that, right?
Nah, it didn't make the cut. I couldn't figure. She would have had been a person.
Oh,
I had a list of like 67, and I used 60 of them between the title and the last word. So sorry, Christine wasn't one of them. And okay. There's another one. I love Christine. I love Firestarter. I love Pet Cemetery.
Langoliers.
So
Langoliers,
that's why I said I can't pick just one. It's freaking Stephen King.
Look at all those books.
I have to. One of my favorites is Sometimes They Come Back. which is a tiny little, like, itty-bitty story in Night Shift, and I love that. I've actually had nightmares of that freaking story of sometimes they come back.
The train.
You know,
the kids
it's
in
just,
the car, I remember that one.
And they just come back one
at a time. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and they
I
come back to high school one at a time. And I don't know why that one freaks me, but it freaks me every time I read it. And it's just a tiny short story. But, yeah, that's got to be one of my favorites of his.
How come you never asked me what my favorite Stephen King book is?
Because it's not your turn to read yet.
Oh. Okay.
So, like, as they read, I ask them before they read. What's your favorite Stephen King? Let me finish getting one more comment for Deb. Deb. Adam, would you like to comment on Deb's
poem? Oh, my God. So I've already been singing his praises when I could sneak it in. To take the titles, let alone, I would have to say 90% of his work, right? Close to it. It's maybe a little less than 90%. It's almost all his work. What a ode of love this is. And done in a way with such care that it weaves a story. It weaves its own story, which, interestingly enough, too, also is a callback to Stephen King, because Stephen King's books could be debated that they all exist in the same fucking world. I know it's a vague rumor. He hasn't confirmed that they all exist in the same world. We know that a lot of them do, though. We know a lot of Stephen King's books exist in the same world. And Deb literally takes that idea and makes it. She wrote a story here and tells it eloquently with just the titles and also thoughts and little inside tidbits from some of the books. And almost tells like another story of the Dark Tower series, I feel. It's almost like one last story.
Oh, cool.
It really blew my mind. I thought this was so fucking clever and brilliant, and I am so impressed. I'm so impressed, and what an idea. And if I could suggest how you could fit in, Christine, not that this needs changing, but you could almost do like a quick, easy thing is like, from a Buick 8, Doris Claiborne ditched Christine. Saw the Tommyknockers chase. You know what I mean? Like, she jumped vehicles. Almost like she ditched Christine and jumped in the Buick. Right. So that was, like, something of that nature. But either way, you can't falter for, like, leaving out anything. This is, like, amazing. I would, like, I would almost keep working on this because I'm sure you did it in some sort of time crunch. I almost don't doubt it because you're similar to AP in that regard, able to just masterfully write pieces in time crunches. But this is, oh, my God, the thought behind this is mind-bending. It's mind-bending, and I love this. And I really hope somehow, some way, he finds this. It comes across his path. Maybe that's some over-romanticized thought, but I think he would get a kick out of it. Like, I don't think he would even
that's
be able
awesome.
To figure this out himself. It's beautiful, Deb. I love it.
Amazing comment. Thank
okay,
you.
Deb. Hi, Chris.
Appreciate it, everybody.
There you go. You're welcome. Fabulous, fabulous poem. Okay, so, Hatter, what's your favorite Stephen King poem, or prose, or write, or novel, or short story?
I don't like any of them. I don't like any of them. They're scary as mother. I watch them once, and I forget them. I try to forget it, and I never watch it a second time. There's a reason.
Well, what about Shawshank Redemption or The Green Mile? Even though The Green Mile is pretty
hard
to watch, that's probably one of it.
I saw The Green Mile years after, and the fact they would have—I watched The Green Mile probably 5 years ago for the first time. Shawshank Redemption, the same, was probably the one I watched more when it came out. Yeah, you're right. Those are very good.
Yeah.
But if I had to pick one, what was the best of the best? I'd have to say it. The scare factor, the storyline, I think how it starts out in the movie and the book, it's pretty frightening. I think that's probably be the favorite.
Wow. little clowns in sewers chasing small children. Oh, that is scary. Yeah. I just like to carry red balloons around town just to see what people think. Never mind. So you are on the board.
Oh, if you saw that,
please,
did you? Okay.
Yeah. So please read away.
Okay. I should have wrote to what I remembered Langoliers as being, and I probably got it wrong. So I decided, well, instead of checking, I'll just run with it. You guys can correct me. Goes like this. Chased by things you cannot see, erased from time you will not be. Wasting bits you did ne'er say, wondering what it is today, fearing most what it's going to do. Thanks, but no, I'll follow you. Feeding slowly but gaining ground, that thing that makes this suck. It's moving closer without a sound. It stops to watch the end of us. Filtered news, reels playing fast. Smoke rings grow but never last. Pretending time is, this is not true. Running down what's part of you. My most innings involve the past. And I couldn't remember, I couldn't think of the last line, so what should it be?
Just hang out there showtime.
Give me a line.
Why must endings invoke the past? They were never meant to last. Wow, that's lame.
It doesn't necessarily have to be just the last two lines. It doesn't have to be that. I know. So anyway, I just ran out of time for the show. I apologize for that. I tried to get it done.
Now you've got me thinking, Hatter. I hate when you do that.
Yeah, now we're all like trying to
figure out the last line. We're all sitting here rhyming in our heads.
Yeah.
Is that original artwork, Hatter?
Yes.
Is that original artwork? Is that your original artwork of the Langoliers?
Oh, yeah, that's just out of my, it's what I scribbled down. Something I had drawn that I think it came closest to it. For some reason, they wouldn't let me copy and paste or upload a picture that I had, an image from Langoliers.
From the actual Langoliers. That's weird. That's very weird.
Yeah, it is.
That they won't let you actually put a picture of the real Langolier creature. Wild.
Yeah. I tried for several minutes ago. I can't believe it. I can't do that. But it's a block.
It's a conspiracy. The Langoliers are preventing you.
I should have tried another browser. Yeah. Probably couldn't. Firefox or something.
All right. Deb, your thoughts on the Langoliers? That is Deb. Yes, I did lose Deb. I'm sorry. Rack and Tor, your thoughts?
Oh, I enjoyed it very much. I mean, well, what more can I say? It was a beautiful interpretation of that.
Yeah, and Adam?
I mean,
disgusted. Your thoughts?
I'm trying to conjure up a last line for old Hatter here. I love the challenge of that. What a, you know, he's making this poem like, he's making it intro, like, interactive now. He's like, come up with the last line for me. I read it earlier and he didn't do this in the end. So I love that he's made some edits since I first read it when he first posted it. I love your picture, by the way. I love your artwork when I see it, if it's accidental or not. But good stuff. I love this idea. You know, I love what the Langoliers embody. Like, I think that's an underspoken about crazy thing. Is his book, or, you know, I first seen the movie. I've never read the book. I've only seen the movie, the two VHS cassette, you know, edition back when that was a thing, when you had to watch, you know, large movies on multiple VHSs. I thought it was so haunting that the past almost never does exist because these creatures eat it. So it never really was, because it won't be there. It never existed. It's not something you can go back to, because it won't be there. If you were to go back, it would be gone. You'd go back into a void. How scary is that? It's like there's nothing. Everything is just erased as we go.
Yeah.
Which almost brings together this idea that living in the moment is all that matters. Right now, riding the way is all that matters, because there's no looking back. Because if you look back, all you see is the end. Isn't that weird? That looking back, you see the end. Not looking forward,
does that go
you
along
see
with
the
does that go along with the butterfly effect, or does it contradict the butterfly effect?
I think it's a whole separate idea.
Yeah.
Butterfly effect is like cause and effect of, like, on a grand scale, that a butterfly that flaps its wings in the Pacific can cause a hurricane then to come upon the Atlantic, just from the effect of its flapping of its wings in another hemisphere. That's the idea there.
It made me pause to take a look at its beauty instead of rushing to save my life for not being in that intersection 20 seconds before, and on and on and on and on. Everybody's affected. That's not hard to believe that they all consider it's all joined to one thing, even though we don't feel it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Yeah.
It's all good. It's all good, sweet. This is your Langolier. Write it.
No, I just you were talking about butterfly effects and how, you know, 1 second decisions can change the path of your life, and even though we don't recognize it or often see it. My son was left here, left the house a little early, so he stopped to grab a cup of coffee, which is absolutely outside of his normal routine. He always makes coffee here at the house. He's just rigid about it. He's a little OCD. But for some strange reason, he didn't make coffee at the house. So he stopped to buy coffee, which put him on the highway 7 minutes later than normal. So he was not smack dab in the middle of a 100-car pileup right at the exit of where he works.
Wow.
Oh, shit. Wow.
So,
is that not weirdest thing?
You can use that as, like, cause and effect or the butterfly effect, but you can also add in karma and fate and a lot of other aspects.
Right, they layer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's weird.
I can hear you being quiet.
Yes, I am.
Any thoughts?
On Langolier's, I thought I mentioned it.
I know, but any other thoughts about butterflies, effects, and all that other kind of stuff?
No, please.
No, maybe? Yes, I know. Yeah, your world's kind of like that.
You know, the my mind goes off in a million different directions, and butterflies carry away my thoughts.
Goodbye, butterflies.
Bye-bye, butterflies.
Bye-bye, butterfly. All right. So, now I am going to throw off. To get back to him. Mr. Adam.
Mr. Adam. Mr. Adams. I'm thinking about changing my name to Dumpster Poetry. Okay.
Dumpster Poetry? I'm not going to call you Dumpster. Mr. Dumpster.
Dumpster. It'll always be Adam. Hey, my name is Adam, so it's always going to be Adam. But, Dumpster Poetry. What, Rick?
Uh,
That was a jewel. I need to hear what Rack said.
Rack, repeat yourself.
I'm sorry? I was calling
what
him Dumpy.
Just say?
We're calling
I'm
him Dumpy.
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 So.
Dumpy will work.
Dumpy.
It's almost like, mm-hmm. almost goes with like the whole Winnie
short
the Pooh. Yes, that too.
Frumpy Dumpy.
And
it's funny,
the
elf that you're going to join, the Grumpy Dumpy Frumpy Club.
Yeah, I'm an Eeyore.
Not
I was going to say that.
Horse.
So Dumpy, I was thinking Eeyore. But short and fat,
Eeyore.
Yes. E or A. So you want me to read my poem?
I
okay.
do.
Cool. I wrote this. I almost went with the quote you went with, sweet. I was really drawn to that, and I was almost going to interweave these two ideas into one. But instead, went with just this idea. Monsters are real, and ghosts are real, too. They live inside us, and sometimes they win. And I call this Lividity. All right. Postscript limped through the zipper of lips, steely mouth of the final beast, crunched the sinewy bones as they feebly reach and hampered long to escape a fate cobbled in a truth. None dodged the grave. Banshee schismatizing shriek reeks deathly in air's weight, jarring us to peak of limbo within the juju of death's glaze, mirroring the spectral lens of dead light's eyes, reflecting a universe in reverse, tiptoed creak of this wretched life. A composition read in words, oblivious in rigor nigh, pale cold slap of loose blue flesh, slack and dangling like a fish, wiggling in suffocation, such does the tremble on lips quiver through a zipper, the haunted prose, posthumous verses recursive and circular choke, thoughts in mind insipid and depleted yolk of living meat, entangled the thump, bringing hushed torrents of hyperplasia apparent in thickened cork of muscle, popped clean from the crevice of a chest gashed in the self-inflicted care from a phantom thrum drumming on with a deep and purple-black slab's offering. Man is not but the wreckage wrought when light hides shadows within the tent of between. Love and truth, a fallout of hope, a failing spin of the potter's wheel, manure, twigs, and mud, inhuman clay of decay, the frothy cut, slough from the font of what it means to be alive in life, dreams, and nightmares, and peace. I read that weird in the end. Oops.
No, you did. I love this. I got to tell you what really just took me right over the edge, right off the bat into a level of metaphoric brilliance that you have is because it offers so many different visions for so many different people and whatever point they are in their lives. And it's jarring us to peek in of the limbo within the juju of death's glaze. Like, where are you at in your life? It doesn't matter where you are. You have to peek at least in the juju of death's glaze. I mean, we've all been in those positions where, like you say, the monsters are real and things are just coming down on us and kind of the AP's poem and you know, what's happening to us and what's going on and how much stress can I deal with and blah. It just kind of carries that from there. But that line just stood up. And it kind of encapsulated this entire poem for me because you wrapped yourself in that imagery. You wrapped this poem in that metaphoric meaning of, you know, what are we? Are we alive? Are we dead? Or what are we facing? Where are we going? And there's really brilliant lines in here, but that has got to be, I'm so jealous of it. But I don't know why that one just immediately went. Okay, yeah, this poem has all these bits and pieces, but what it comes down to is us looking within the juju of death's glaze. And I just think that That was brilliant. Even though it was probably maybe done on purpose, not done on purpose, but that's where it kept bringing me back. Like as you read and read, it just kept bringing me back to that line. You know, I really, really enjoyed it. All right, now that I've run my mouth forever.
Thank you, sweet.
You're welcome. Rack, your thoughts.
Yeah, the line that grabbed me was further towards the middle when he was talking about reflecting the universe in reverse. That was good. But, I mean, the whole thing was good. Definitely had the idea of the monsters inside of you and yeah, they're not just alive. They're coming out to play. I really, really enjoyed it. You did a good job with this, Adam.
Oh,
zippered
man.
Mouth
Thank
and
you.
All.
Wait, what? My what mouth and all?
Zippered mouth.
My
zippered
mouth.
Mouth.
I know. I need a zipper instead of putting feet in it. Thank you. Thank you, buddy.
Hatter, my man. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I was looking at the same line back, so I'll go ahead and read it. Yeah, mirroring the spectral lens of the dead light eyes, reflecting the universe in reverse. I was looking at the same line, so yeah, this is full of it. I'm probably going to be wrong here, but is anybody familiar with the author Voltaire? Is it Voltaire?
Voltaire?
The French philosopher,
Voltaire. He leans into the darkness, the dark thoughts. I kind of write it down. I don't know if that's the guy. Well, anyway, in my brain,
I mean,
that's
I know
what
he's
I
a French philosopher. I had a dream with him the other night, by the way. That's wild that you brought that up.
Well,
I'm
really
there.
I probably have the names wrong, but I know it starts with a V, and he suggests in his writing the dark side, and the one that bothered me or I remember the most is the baby bird that falls out of the nest and the kid kills it, and he writes about witnessing and doing it. It's disturbing.
All mercy.
Yeah, and it's reality to some of the dark side of the thought, you know.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's what it suggested to me. And not that it's not a bad thing. It was just a very cleverly done.
I like it.
Thank
I like
you.
That
I
analogy,
appreciate
actually.
That you like
yeah.
this.
All right. So, I am.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was just gonna mumble on.
Come on,
it's
mumble. Hey,
it's dumpster
ahead.
Poetry.
Prattle on.
No, I'm good. Thank you guys.
Right.
And thank you, especially how sweet really focused, like you know, elevating what doesn't deserve it. But thank you. I appreciate the love and care of your insights, everybody.
Well, you're a great poet. So we are going to go and listen to Hatter's mortal enemy, Stevenson.
Nemesis.
His nemesis. So if y'all want to click on that poem, I will get into the studio and hit play. So here we go.
A short while ago, I wrote a series of poems based on the characters from the Stephen King book, The Stand. This particular one is about the character Larry Underwood, and it's called From Low Life Comes Leadership by Stephen 76. Upon parking beside an old painted brick building and a car paid for with loan shark money, overdue in many leg-breaking ways, the digging man grins and remembers home. Tell me, mother, can you dig your son? A self-promoting, manipulative, self-centered whelp with white powder stuck to nose hair and whiskey sloshing in his bowels. Skeptic matriarch stays a butler stick away, knowing of escape hue and overly selfishness of unsought appearance, hardly having dropped a line. Captain Trips strikes down the weak, while bell-ringing monster shouter dressed in burlap robes, grabs and pulls at lapels. He's coming for you, Larry, a man with no face. Tactless footsteps through the streets and sewers, bullet breezes felt on suicidal cheek, ricocheted off veiled walls of Lincoln Tunnel, leaving the smell of the dead behind. Overdosed pard leads to inner reflections upon meeting the chosen and a phonic boy. Guitar strumming in the east, setting sights on strumming in the west, and the smell of fresh baked bread. Shedding apathy with every footstep, every nightmare of the glowing eyes of the crow peering between cornstalks. Paragon, bolt-faced leading lad to the dowager of dreams. End poem.
Oh, my God. I got to tell you, Stephen, I know you're not here, but let me sing your praises. This is brilliant intake on Larry Underwood. I think you nailed his character in so many brilliant ways. Wow. His fear of the man with no eyes, his insecurities about himself as a rock star, everything that had been taken away from him. Just so much there. And I love he's coming for you, Larry, the man with no face. His time in the tunnel, which of all pieces of literature, if you have never read the Stephen King's The Stand, if you don't read the whole book, I would say if you want a lesson in writing imagery, read the chapter and verse of Larry Underwood going through the tunnel at New York, going from one side of the tunnel to the other. And it is, without a doubt, an absolute lesson in imagery. It's brilliant. It's scary. It's down to, like, the bubbles of a nose, you know, snot coming out of your nose kind of imagery. And I am a big fan of it. I've read it, I don't know how many times. I used to read, I have actually continued, but I read The Stand once a year. I have since I was 14 years old. I am now 56 years old. So every year, well, maybe a few here and there I have missed, I have to admit to that, but I have always tried to read The Stand because if it's vivid imagery and it's storytelling and it's character building, and I love how this just kind of embraces the whole set thing of that, because you did a great, great job at it. Thank you for bringing it to the show. I really, really appreciate it, my dear dark brother. So, Mr. Enemy, Hatter, what do you think?
I'm not real familiar. Who's Larry Underwood?
He's one of the main characters in The Stand. He's the rock and roll star.
In The Stand, okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember ever seeing it. But I probably feel lost. My nemesis.
Well, what did you think of poem anyway?
That's very good. It's very good. I'm trying to understand. Yeah, he's describing scenes or something. I'm sort of lost, so it'd be better if I had read it. But yeah, Skippy's coming along just fine. Steven.
Oh, you cracked me up. All right. Back into your thoughts.
Yeah, he did an amazing job with this. I absolutely agree. Imagery is outstanding. From before when he said, it struck me that he used whelp because it reminds me of you, Sweet, because of the dogs. But you know that expression also doesn't get used very much, and it so fits perfectly to the imagery that he's conjuring of this sleazeball character that his mother is going to eventually reject. I guess the way he's describing it, you know, that kind of person that not even a mother could love. The whisper washing in his bowels, or he didn't. I don't think he used bowels, but the whiskey splashing inside of him, the intestines maybe. But whatever he used, it was brilliant. He did a fantastic job with that, and then you know it unfolded to the rest of the story, and it was just lovely. You know the level of imagery, like you mentioned, and with this. It was wonderfully done, Stephen. Much appreciated.
And Adam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm just build off of what everybody else is already saying. If we take it away from the story itself and just this story within the story of its story, it's an allegory of the lost finding their way against all odds, and literally against all odds stacked against you. What hope is there for a wretch like this? I think it mirrors the ideas of redemption throughout Christianity. If that's your bag, it sings of it. It fucking sings of it. And it talks about how the worst of us can become the best of us. And, you know, and through the journey. It's through the journey of being that sleazeball that, and it's never the ones that, you know, think they're worthy, right? It's always the ones that don't think they're worthy that become the worthy. And it's incredible. He tells that story. That this character story in this poem it goes so well. His choices of words, his imagery, it's spot on. This is a masterful Stephen piece. Stephen, you know, you just get it. You're right away. Like his first few lines let you know he's serious about this one. You're right in there. You're reading it, you're engrossed in it like it is a novel. And it's just a man's fear that he'll never be what he needs to be. There's so much here, and it's beautiful writing. I agree with everybody. And you're right, Rack. He did use bowels, whiskey sloshing in his bowels, right after the, with white powder stuck to nose hair and whiskey sloshing his bowels. Yeah, because, you know, and that was, yeah. Tell me, mother, can you dig your son? You know, it's that self-hate, that self-loathing. It's like when you know you're doing all the wrong. You just can't stop. But that was his past, and it haunts him a while. And that's what it does to us. And if you're going to – and this it dives in and out of faith, what that means, and the whole story of the stand. Beautiful. Frickin' Stephen, I understand, Hatter, why he's your nemesis.
Yes. All right, guys, we've got Laughing Soul. She is on the board. Laughing Soul is always her quote is, what she writes you? I love the quote she wrote you. Oh, no, I can't find it. Of course not. Well, we'll listen to her poem and then I'll find your quote. All right, here we go.
Tears, a poem by Laughing Soul. Tears, scarlet leaves of autumn, fall to rest for a while, caressing earth's fragrant bosom, yearn to feel alive. Tears, tiny flutters of your memories, songs of a broken chord, strum soulfully on raindrops to feel alive. Tears, I left on that bench at eventide, plumed fireflies at midnight, whilst cried my lonely heart silently to feel alive. Shadows draped in weeping hues on a forsaken autumn avenue, mosaic of my love for you, strolled by to feel alive. In poem.
Well, dang. That was beautiful. And she wrote to the quote, "The tears that heal are also the tears that scald and scrub." Yeah. Can't talk again tonight. But yeah, Laughing Soul, this is gorgeous, and it's got a depth to it, like a richness to it. tiny flutters of your memories, songs of a broken chord, strum softly on raindrops to feel alive. I think that you really did a fantastic job with this, interweaving autumn and love and the teardrops that give us hope, faith, and brutalness of what can and cannot happen in our lives. I left on the bench at Eve tide, bloomed fireflies at midnight, most cried my lonely heart silently to feel alive. There's so many great lines in here, and just a melancholy read with the beautiful music. It's a great piece, so I really thank you for bringing it here. Racky Tori, your thoughts on this?
Yes, this touches me in a way it's hard to explain. I have a poem by the same title, actually. It's one of the first things I ever wrote. Kind of fits the quote too, actually. But she did a wonderful job tying together the emotion, the tears, and the memories. It just brings out a feeling that's kind of hard to avoid. The pain and the sorrow, anyone that has any sort of empathy, you know, when you see that tear in somebody's eye, you can't help but want to brush it away. And to imagine, you know, what actually, you know, causes it. Anyway, I thought it was beautiful.
I did too. And Adam, your thoughts?
There's a you guys are touching on it. There's a poignant melancholy, and then there's almost this nostalgic love that's ached. The same tears that painted a path of joy carved a path of pain. And it's the same path embodying two emotions. Those tears of joy are now tears of hurt. I love their line. I'm trying to remember it. The end. It was the very end. A mosaic that you stroll by. And they're seen, but the other person is just strolling by them. It's just...
Yeah.
It's an offering. Yeah, it's now part of the environment that they walk by, and it almost makes the other person aloof. It makes the pain and melancholy of this all the more hurtful, that, you know, she feels that what she conveys in the feeling of this piece, because sometimes people don't care about how we feel. Sometimes people don't, especially when the other person is going to feel some sort of responsibility. They definitely don't want to feel it. No one wants to be responsible for another person's pain, as relevant as it is, or could be, or will it, you know. And that last line really ties that up with the, and yet the feeling she's giving off is, it is how it will be, and that is what it is. An acceptance, I feel, is there. Not that it's not set, you know, that's why there's that melancholy and some sort of resonance of joy from what it was when it was okay, when it was real and connected. This is a beautiful piece, as you read it so beautifully. It was a good piece.
Yeah. Awesome comment. All right, guys, we have one more poem to go, and that is by Heavenly Angel, and that is on the board. And it is called Hopeful Shadow. And here we go. Hopeful Shadows by Heavenly Angel. Standing in the shadows, remaining obsolete. Never wanted to be an intrusion. I remain silent, observing you with eyes full of desire and a heart full of love. The desire not wanting, it is the desire to be held in your arms. The love in my heart so intense, it spills from my eyes. It is my hope, my deepest secret desire, to be the one your heart comes home to be the reason for your smile, to be the song you sing. I live my life in hopeful shadows, yet I know fulfillment of this will never be. I'm content to observe you, to know you're living life in ways that make you smile. I love your smile. I love everything about you. I think that's just brilliant and sad to watch somebody from afar and be in love, and yet they don't know you existed, or they're not in love with you, or they think of you as a friend, or anything like this. It's just the waning and wanting of them is so, like, you can almost feel it in your own bones, like that strong desire of wanting this person, and yet the selflessness of going ahead and giving up on your own happiness for their happiness, which is selfless, and I've always been too selfish, I think, to do that, but I don't know, I think you did a great job, Sandy, it's just gorgeous. Rack, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a beautiful portrait of, like you say, the feelings that you can have to somebody that not necessarily doesn't know that you exist, but, you know, doesn't return your feelings in that way. You want them to be happy, but, you know, at the same time, you don't feel that you have a right to their feelings. It's just not your place. And, you know, to watch something like that can be painful because, you know, what you know in your heart isn't what they seem to see or feel. So it kind of tears at you. It's really, really heartrending.
Yes, absolutely. And Adam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is Rec really nails it. And what you said, too, I just second and echo both of you. There's this unrequited, yet I know where I stand. And it's not really, it's almost not an unrequited love from afar. It's love from afar, but it's not unrequited because the other person doesn't even know, because this person is so humble in their stance that they don't even interject. They don't even step in. They don't even throw their metaphorical hat into the ring, right? They just say, I will love you from afar, and that will be all it will be. That's a different thing, you know. That's different than I feel unrequited. I admire feeling that unrequited is you try, and it's not returned. This is another level. It's a different feeling and emotion altogether. And it's quite beautiful and selfless, like you said. Very selfless in its idea. Very beautiful. It's very a very touching piece. Very lovely.
Awesome. All right. So as we wrap up the night of Stephen King, you know, maybe you sleep peacefully. Tommyknockers don't, you know, drive you crazy, or, you know, you don't burn and the lights are fire. Tommyknockers. All right, so. Let's see. Tomorrow night, 11:09, on Team of Voices, is Crystal Hope. And she has a great topic. I really want anybody that hears my voice to come on right for it. It is about change. So she's looking for poetries about change. Anything you want to write about, personal or not, show is at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Crystal is an incredible poet. If you have never heard her read or read her poetry, you should. I'm very excited to pump up her show because I actually haven't been on one of her shows, which is horrible, and I won't be tomorrow night either. Sorry, Crystal, but I bowl on Wednesday nights. But I think your topic is amazing because change happens every single day. Change is something we live with. You know, we're never the same from one moment to the next. So I really thought that topic was kind of brilliant. And let's see, what else we have after that? Wednesday night, what's going on Thursday night. I don't think they have anything going on Thursday night. Friday night is hanging out with the guys, and Saturday night is hanging out with Hatter AP and Deborah Lee. So Saturday night's word of the week is going to be, what is the word?
Dun, dun, dun,
dun. Is it? I don't know what. It's critters. It's critters. So if you want to write and talk about critters Saturday night with Deb, AP, and Hatter, that's always fun to do too. Adam, what are you up to? You got any other shows anywhere else that we need to talk about? You good?
Nothing for like another week or so over there at Costa Nostra. We're starting to get together some shows that we'll have on Tuesdays. We'll typically, if needed, be an encore show to carry over poetry that was not gotten to on Sunday's open poetry. Wednesdays will be Wednesdays will be a potluck poetry with me and yours truly, Raconteur. Thursdays will be a coffee and conversations with me and Raz. Just, you know, come and talk and hang out, and we'll read poetry on topics and ideas and talk about it. And Fridays will be like a Friday Follies, yeah, with this guy right here. Yours truly will be my show where, you know, just come mess up with me. Because I'm a habitual foot-in-the-mouth kind of guy. I just can't help it.
Awesome.
I like the toe jam when I get jammed up by it. And that's hopefully these will all be starting next week. They're all about the same time at 9. Encore will be a midday show at 1 p.m. Eastern time. So, you know, that's where we're going to do that. And it's all open poetry regardless. You know, there might be subtle topics, but they're malleable. They're workable to work with open poetry. So come hang out at LCN with next week. Yeah, cool. Thank
awesome.
You, sweetie.
Great. You're welcome very much. Okay, that kind of ends the show tonight. I have some fabulous poets, some fabulous people in my studio as always. Rack, please give them a thanks because, you know, I'll forget someone. So thank everybody for me, Rack.
Oh, yeah, sure. I showed up late, and you want me to thank everybody that showed up before me? Thank you, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody. Yes. Now let's thank AP, Deborah Lee, Jay Hatter, Raconteur, and Mr. Adam. Thank you, guys. I can't do these shows without you. You guys make my week. You make my day, and you make poetry like no one else has ever heard. Thank you for coming and joining me on Blog Talk Radio for Sweet Discussions. I hope everybody out there has a wonderful night. I will talk to you guys soon. Have a good night.
Have a good night, Sweet Pea. Thanks for having us.
All right. Bye, guys.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.